Matthew chapter 14. I want to start reading with verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Would you underline that? While who sent the multitudes away? Jesus. Why did Jesus do that? Let me help some of you ministers. He never lost the smell of sheep on him. Write that down. That'll help you. When a minister loses the smell of sheep on him, he becomes a professional. He's no longer an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. Now he's a professional. Because he's not interested in sheep. He's interested in what sheep can do for him. Jesus did that. He had the smell of sheep on him. Left the 99, we'll get one. Think about that for a minute. But that's another sermon. You hear so much when you're up here. Verse 23, when he had sent the multitudes away, this Jesus did that, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now I understand that, because I live in hurricane country. I know what wind can mean when it gets contrary. You, especially in Oklahoma, with tornadoes. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Didn't have time to buy a donkey or a camel. And he didn't think there was nothing wrong with walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Well, I think I would do the same thing. I think you would too. Somebody just come walking by your boat. I mean, you know, common sense there. You know, I think I'd go, "Whoa." But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, now look how loud he talked. He got so loud, his voice went red. Look. Now that's loud talking. Okay. Just as Gloria said, you preach what you believe, I preach what I believe. Okay. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Or let me paraphrase it. Hey! Hey, that voice, what's up? How you doing? Go ahead. Hey, how you? Hey, ain't seen you in a while. Woo! Now that's red talking. That's paraphrasing. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou. He just told him who he was. Now that's ignorance going to seed right there. Jesus had been hollering, hey, it's I. Well, if it's really you, I just told you who I am. You'd be surprised how many people will not receive the voice of God when he's talking red. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, look, it went red again. Come! And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Would you please underline that? Most of the artists, if you have, I buy and collect a lot of artwork. Kathy tries to keep me out in places because I just like that kind of stuff. He beginning to sink. Most painters will paint Peter about this far into the water. Right here. He had his toes hadn't got under the water. He's beginning to sink. In other words, he's starting to go. He hadn't sunk. He's beginning to sink. But see, man has got to put your head under the water. Man's got to have you drinking water and just dying out there. But he's beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, now immediately is suddenly twin brother. That's fast. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Do you know how close he was? He was one arm stretch away from Jesus when he began to doubt. Now, you know, I can understand if he was way over there, but he was right there. He go, Lord, boom, he caught him. It's like a child sent him out, bam, you got him. And look what Jesus said. His voice went red. Oh, thou little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? You this close, boy. I can understand if you way over there. But I mean, he said, Lord, save me. Bam. Just that quick. Bam. I mean, he had him right there. Stretched forth his hand. Man, he didn't do this. He just did this. Now, that's how close Jesus is to you when he's talking to you. And he says, why did you doubt? What's your problem? You haven't even sunk. You're beginning to think. The water hadn't got above his ankles. It hadn't got above his toe. He's still standing on the water. Just starting. Just. And the Lord just looked up and says, three things Jesus said that just really, you know, I'm going to preach on this. Oh, ye of little faith. How come you're so fearful? And how long must I suffer to be with you? He used the word suffer. I believe he has to suffer to be with some people. And you know what I'm talking about. If you're a minister, you got some people in your church that's not thorns in the flesh. They're complete bushes. You know that. You know that. And you got to suffer to be with them. You know it's the truth. Y'all can edit this part out if you like, bless God, but it's the truth. Go back to verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, for it is I. Be not afraid. I want to talk today about water-walking disciples. Getting out of the boat of religion and getting on the water of life. If you stay in the boat of religion, you will only meet disciples. But if you get out on that water, you're going to meet Jesus. Are you understanding me? I like disciples, but I prefer Jesus. I want to be where he is. As one person said, everyone in that boat, everything around them is over their head. But everything around Jesus out there is under his feet. I prefer to be around somebody that has control over what's going on. That's why I stay close to my wife. She has total control of what's going on. I don't mean, that's just simply the truth. They ain't a lie. It's the truth. And I don't mind, because they're not the weaker sex. That's a lie. I've seen many offerings taken, and most men ain't got a dime. They look at their wife and go, how much are we giving, huh? It's a fact. Water-walking disciples. To blast into the millennium with miracles, you're going to have to get out of your boat of religion. Oh, but I know what you're thinking. Oh, people like y'all that got them television ministers that has an opportunity to get all that money. Listen, it takes the same amount of faith to walk on a pond as it does to walk on an ocean. You're going to sink in the pond and you're going to sink in the ocean. It don't make no difference where you are, bless God. It makes all the difference how much faith is under your feet. Are you hearing me? So quit trying to compare yourself to somebody else. There are a lot of ministers here bigger than mine, but I don't compare myself with them. In fact, I'm glad they are. The quicker we get people saved, the quicker I can get out of here. When the gospel's preached to the world for a witness, they ain't say they got to receive it. They just got to witness it. Bless God, we can get out of here. I mean, I like Tulsa, but I want to get out of here. I want to go to heaven. I want to start my job. You ain't going to be laying on the ground and angels flying over you, dropping grapes in your mouth. There's much to be done. That's simply the truth. A water-walking disciple. So how do I walk on water, Brother Jesse? To walk on water without, you got to have water within. I'm not talking about sipping. I'm talking about drinking. Before I was saved, I was an alcoholic. I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. That was at night. I got up in the morning and drank whiskey and tequila with eggs and bacon. I could fry them just by the booze that was in my mouth. I enjoyed it. I didn't care. I got drunk when I was 5 years old, been drinking ever since. Mama beat me and I just get drunk again. I enjoyed drinking. I used to bring my own thermos and it was slow gin. They thought it was Kool-Aid. I was stoned by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I enjoyed it. In other words, I didn't play with it. Don't look at me weird. You've been a sinner yourself. I enjoyed it. I smoked enough dope to pollute Tulsa. I come out of the 60s, you understand? 60s, hey man. Oh, everybody I knew in the 60s, they inhaled. That's all I'm gonna say about that. They inhaled. I wanna be a water walker, but I gotta get out of the boat of religion to do that. Water walking disciples are inspired by his will, inspired by his spirit. They're devoted to his purpose. People ask me, why do you preach so much? I'm about my father's business. What do you want me to do? Now, I believe in resting. And Sister Joyce said something today that really knocked me right between the eyeballs. And I believe it was prophetic for me. I know it. I don't know about anybody else, but for me, it was prophetic. Because I do enjoy preaching. I preach when I sleep. I keep a little cassette player by my, you know, one of the little ones. Man, I get some of the greatest ideas when I'm sleeping. I just wake up and go, when I wake up, I'm going to preach on what I'm just saying right now so I don't forget it when I go back to bed. Because, you know, usually you'll forget it. You don't write it down or whatever, you know, something like that. One time I stood up in the middle of it. I was in the middle of the bed. And my God, man, I woke up and I was saying, energize, immobilize, and finalize. And I was preaching at some tent meeting. I don't know where I was. I was sleeping. Energize. And the ceiling fan was hitting my hair. Bang, bang. Kathy pulled me down. Get down, fool. I enjoy myself. I enjoy myself. I'm a water walker. Now, when you're a water walker, you're going to be by yourself. Did you see Matthew get out the boat? How about Nathaniel, who had no guile? He didn't get out the boat. Judas definitely wasn't getting out that boat. When you get out on the water, you're going to be by yourself. You might as well get used to that. It's going to be you and Jesus and nobody else. And there's going to be 11 other people in the boat saying, hey, fool, stupid, stupid. But you want to be a water walker. You decided to believe in the impossible. They're going to call you crazy, insane, nuts, but that don't make no difference. Are you going to sink or are you going to walk? And remember, don't look at somebody else's ocean if all you walking across is a pond, because if you ain't got faith to walk across a ditch, you're going to sink. You got to have faith. Take the same faith to walk across a ditch as it does across the Mississippi River. Something's got to hold you up. And what is that? Inspired by the will of God, his spirit, and devoted to his purpose. You know, you got to understand something about God. You got to find out what God likes. You know, I mean, when you married your wife, you find out what she likes. What makes her happy? What makes her sad? You got to find out what God likes. And his greatest possession is people. He counts his wealth by the souls he possesses. Not by gold streets or pearly gates, but by people. See, Jesus had the smell of sheep on him. He sent them away. I thought, why did they get boys? No, he said, I have to have the smell of sheep, because if I have the smell of sheep on me, I'll never forget what it is to be a sheep. Write that down. That'll help you. You see, you'll never forget that. You'll understand why somebody does what they do. Our destination isn't to stay where we are, but to get to the other side. Whatever you walk on can become yours. When Jesus walked that Sea of Galilee, it was his sea. Why? Because he was in control of everything out there, including the storm, as well as the water and anything else. And all he came to say was, hello, boys, how y'all do it? Now, you know, if you've been with a man a long time, he's raised people from the dead, fed 5,000 people with two-piece fish dinner. I mean, catching fish and spitting money out of it. I don't think I'd have a problem of him walking on the water. Born of a virgin. Now, that's something that always bothered me. Bothered me because, you know, Peter never says nothing about it. James never said, Matthew ain't never said nothing about it. Nathaniel never said nothing about it. James the less, James the more, and James whatever, who are, they had a lot of James back there. Don't you think if you was following a person and gave up your career and your life and you know he's born of a virgin, wouldn't you say that? I would say, hey, this guy gotta be the Messiah. I know his mama. He was born of a virgin. You know, they never said nothing about that. Maybe they didn't believe it. You can't prove that's true. You can't prove it's not. I would say something about that. I would say, not only did he raise Lazarus from the dead, my God, he was born of a virgin. I'd be saying that, hey, come see the man that was born of a virgin. That would be a great headline. They ain't never said nothing about it. Maybe they didn't believe it. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of things they went around Jesus they didn't believe. You gotta understand, the Lord shows everyone shows all of us, as we read the Bible, these wonderful people who we put in these big glass houses, yet he shows us their mistakes. And sometimes we try to duplicate the mistakes as holy canon when God didn't tell you to duplicate the mistake. I mean, Abraham lied about his wife like the lost her, and Isaac didn't say anything like the lost her. That doesn't mean you go lie about your wife. Paul the Apostle, hang on, I want to say this. Oh, Lord, I'm going to make some of y'all mad. If you want to make Catholics mad, talk about Mary. Lord Jesus, man, don't send them out. Hey, Mary, what's the matter with you? She married. Yeah, okay, we understand. But you want to make a Protestant mad, say something about the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul had some negative confessions in some of his life. Apostle Paul had a problem with receiving. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. He did. He said, but I've got to work with my own hand. I believe in that. That's not the issue. But you know, you won't find anywhere where he received until he said this. He said this, I am full and I abound. Why? Because of his faith? No, because I have received from Epaphroditus the things that you have sent me. Y'all want me to quit? So you got to understand, God will show you some people's weaknesses, all of them. But sometimes we'll preach a weakness as a strength when it's a weakness. Now, to understand that, you're going to have to get out of the boat of religion and get out on the water. Now, I am not worthy to latch the shoelaces of the Apostle Paul, greatest intellectual mind drawn to the rim of Christianity, but he wasn't Jesus. And he didn't look like he had a problem with women. I think he'd probably get a little angry at Joyce. He'd probably get a little angry at Gloria. But I know what Gloria would have said to him. You believe what you believe, and I believe what I believe. I like that statement. That's good. Because, see, I don't care as long as something preaches. If God can't get people to preach, he'll get animals to preach. I mean, he had a donkey save a prophet's life and the first rooster save the first pope. If Peter's the first pope. He didn't repent till the bird went, cock-a-doodle-doo. He went, okay. That's why preachers have been killing chicken for centuries. Called a gospel bird. You can't prove it's true and I can't prove it's not. So our destination isn't to stay where we are. So I don't care how big, bigger ministry, smaller ministry, whatever. You know, I'm not very much. Oh, yeah, you are. I was in Southampton, England. I did how many countries? 7 countries in 8 days, something like that. I mean, preaching every night in a different country. I mean, I did a complete European tour. Now I'm talking, it was tough, man. And my staff going, oh, we don't know what we're going to do. I said, suck it up. Come on. What's the matter with you? You flew over here in a plane. Just think about it. I got you to walk with a donkey. Come on. Okay. I got to Southampton, the place where the Titanic left. For its, maiden voyage or final voyage. The only voyage. Sure, that's it. One voyage. Glory to God. And the Lord said to say something about Queen Elizabeth. I said, no. He said, say it. So I said, how many of y'all would think, what would you think if Queen Elizabeth lived in a trailer? Prince Charles lived in a camper. They all went, ooh, like they sucked all the oxygen out the room. I said, why would you be so surprised in that? Well, she's the queen. He's the Prince of Wales. They're the royal family. They're the monarchy. And buddy, I had him then. I said, I want to let every one of y'all know, we're not servants of God. We're sons of God. We are the monarchy. We are the royal family. Do you understand that? We are the royal family. Can't you understand that? So if they can live in Buckingham, how come you can't live in Buckingham and Windsor? Why are you living in a trailer? Now, there ain't nothing wrong with a trailer, but what I'm saying is, well, I'm not worthy. Oh, no, you are the royal family. Do you understand? You're the only one that can sit down in the presence of God. Michael can't sit in the presence of God. Gabriel can't sit in the presence of God. But you can sit down in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Glory to God. That's a water walker. We're the royal family. He even said that a chosen generation, a royal. We're the poorest looking royals you ever saw in your life. How do I be this water walker? Faith will always direct you to get out of something man-made and get on something God-made. Man made that boat, God made that sea, and Jesus walked on what God made. He had dominion over all the works of God's hand. As the Son of Man. Not as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man. He was the Son of God, but he did it as the Son of Man. Isn't that good? A water walking disciple. Well, I'm trying, but trying don't get nothing done. I tried to go to work today. You're going to get fired today. You don't try to get married. You do. I'm going to try to love you. You living in a dream world. You don't try. You do. Ain't no other choice. And I want to tell you something. Marriage is a great institution. But I mean, sometimes it ain't fun. Why? Because, see, there's nobody like you, and you're trying to make that person be like you. When God wants you to come together, but he also wants separate personality. Yeah. Yeah. Kathy goes to bed before I do. I'm a night person. She's a day person. It's tough sometimes to get together. You see what I'm saying? You know, I say, you want to watch a little television? Something like, yeah, and they need 3 minutes. I just look over and I say, Lord bless her. But my God, 5 o'clock in the morning, whoop, she's up drinking coffee. And I'm going, what's the matter with the woman? I was sleeping last night and she was trying to slide a quilt under me. I said, woman, I'm asleep. The girl forgot to put the quilt on the bed. I don't care. I don't get cold. Until she put them feet on me. Boom, man. Lord Jesus, help me. I tell you what, you want something frozen instantly? Let Kathy put a foot on it. And feet will get you out of bed. Faith will always direct you to get out of something man-made. Get on something God-made. That's a water walker. Yeah, but that's Oral Roberts University. Or that's Kenneth Copeland Ministry. Well, I understand that. Oh, this, but I pastor a church of 35. So, by the elders obtained a good report. Somebody making a report. Do you know one soul's worth more than the whole world? Now, how much is the world worth? You ever tried to figure that out? Exxon, Mobil, Shell, IBM, Microsoft. Put them all together. Let's put a figure to it. And you think because you had only one person got saved in that revival, well, it wasn't much. Boy, that's an insult to God himself. See, you don't understand the value of an individual. A water walking disciple. Lord, if it's really you, you already know it's him. You know God ain't telling you to, you know the devil ain't telling you to give $1,000. Ain't no devil saying, why don't you just go ahead and give him $1,000? That ain't gonna happen. Then you know it's God. You like Peter. Well, if it's really you, Lord. Knock my wallet out my pocket right now. He ain't gonna do that. I'll never forget the first time he ever asked me for $100. I like to fell out. See, I was raised Catholic. Catholics don't get no $100. But I tell you what, every Protestant ought to pick up an offering like a Catholic church does. You never miss anybody. They got a 30-foot pole on each bag. That's fact. How many of y'all been Catholic at least once? Oh, yeah. Am I telling the truth? Am I telling the truth? My God, they can pole vault out of there. You only need two ushers, man. One on one side, one on the other. So I don't know if he's going to reach me. Oh, wait a minute, honey. Suck that baby back. That's amazing. I like that. I guess reading my Pentecostals don't do it. They try to hook a garbage can on the end of the pole. Water walking disciple. Every person will do as much as he believes. How come I didn't do that? You didn't believe it. I tried. No, trying don't get it done. Every person will do as much as he believes. You want to be a water walker? You're going to have to believe. Remember, when Peter was believing, he was walking. when his faith went out and his belief stopped, he began to sink. But he was so close to a person with so much faith that immediately he was saved. You can lose all your faith, but if you're close to somebody that got a bunch of it, they'll save you. You didn't get that. That went right over your head. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can lose it all, buddy, but if you're close to somebody that got something, wham, you're right there. Right there. So why would you say, wherefore didst thou doubt? I wanted to call you my water walker. How many times he wants to call us his water walker? You see my point? So why are we doing all this? One thing I don't particularly care for is the notoriety of what television brings you. I don't particularly care for that. I like, if I want to go somewhere, I just like going. I want to go to the bathroom by myself. There's just some things you just like to do by yourself. I have literally been in the stall with the door closed and people talking to me. I know you're in there, buddy. Jesse. I mean, there are just some things that are private. And I thought, what can I do to get this fool away from me? And I'm not going to tell you what I did. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Every person will do as much as he believes. What will you believe in this series of services? Will you get out of your boat of religion and walk in your water? How do I do that? To become a water walker, you must do four things. Number one, walk with God, Genesis 5, 22. Number two, walk after God, Deuteronomy 13, 4. Number three, walk before God, Genesis 17, 1. Number four, walk in God, Colossians 2, 6. Number one, walk with God, Genesis 5, 22. Number two, walk after God, Deuteronomy 13, 4. Number three, walk before God, Genesis 17, 1. Number four, walk in God, Colossians 2, 6. So when you walk with God, walk after God, walk before God, then you walk in God, because in God includes all of the above. Are you hearing me? Everything God's ever told me to do, I couldn't do. That's how I know God's telling me. That's when I know the voice of God. My sheep know my voice. He ain't telling you to do something easy. He gonna tell you to do something you think. You got to be kidding. First time he asked me for $100, I like to fell out. I said, listen, come here. That's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for. I said, well, I wasn't expecting that response. Do you understand what I'm saying? I just wasn't expecting that. I thought, surely he gonna ask me no more. He asked me for $1,000 one time. I like to fell out. I went, come here. That's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for, Jeff. Oh, Jesus. And then it was 1982, 83, 84. I was sitting next to a man at the only Kenneth Hagin convention I've ever been in my life since. Hadn't been back since. Not that I don't like Brother Hagin. I love Brother Hagin. Just been busy. Make a long story short, I'm sitting there, and this white-headed guy named, what's his name, Norval, somebody? Norval Hayes, that's his name. And he said, God's telling people in here to give $10,000. And my God, man. This man right next to me. I heard the Lord. I heard, give $10,000. And this man, he said, sir, God just told me to give $10,000. I said, I heard it. I got to get away from you, man. Get over here. I got more over here. I'm hearing what God said to him. I said, I heard it, man. Do it. And the Lord said, Jesse, I'm talking to you. I said, that's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for. Then he asked me for $50,000, Don. Then he asked me for $100,000. Then he asked me for $500,000. Million. But I'll never forget when he got to those big ones. He said, Jesse, you got more than that. I went, yeah. For the first time, you didn't wipe me out. You got more than that now, boy. Your seed is grown into harvest. You got more than that. You walk in the water. Glory! You're blessed. Water walking disciples want to live their lives on the same basis as Jesus. This is his Jesus theology. You got a problem? I got an answer. Let's talk. Put them together, it's over. Not very hard, is it? It's not very hard. You just need a good theologian to help you misunderstand it.
You know, the Greek says, look, man, I'm trying to find English. Forget Greek. I'm just trying to get English. I've just went to the Amplified Bible. That's as far as I can go. Forget that Greek stuff. I don't know about you people. I need a Jesus with skin on him. I don't like this stuff. Well, go your way. You know how the Lord is. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he don't. Hey, man, when you got millions of dollars of television bills, you got stuff, you don't want to say, Lord, Jesus, love of my soul, Jesus, help me before I go broke, Jesus. No, you need to say, Jesus, what? Because see, he's immediately there. He's that close to you. Let me help you here. God don't think much of a person that don't think much of himself. And you'd be surprised. I think one of the biggest problems in the body of Christ is insecurity. Because you're trying to go to someone else's level. You want to be them. God don't want you to be them. God don't want you to be you. But I don't like me. But then you're insulting God because you're his creation. I never tell myself I don't like me. I look at myself in the mirror and go, oh, Jesse. I'm serious. I can be about that. That's not egotistical. I'm appreciating the creation of God. Let me tell you something. I respect all ministries. You know why? Because they're wearing the same flesh Jesus wore. People always ask me, what do I think about it? I shut down a man for speaking evil of you, Joyce, about 2 weeks ago. I'll tell you one thing about that, Joyce Meyer. I said, you ain't going to tell me nothing about Joyce Meyer. You know Joyce Meyer? No. I said, well, shut up. I said, you know what your problem is? She's bigger than you, preach better than you, got more money than you. That's exactly what I said. He didn't like it. I ain't going to hear that track. You know why? Because I respect the flesh she wears, because she wears the same flesh Jesus wore. Who cares about what I think about somebody? It's what the Lord thinks about them. But that was jealousy. That's all that was, with jealousy. You know, just trying to, you know, I don't think, man, we don't make no difference. What you're trying to do is pull somebody down to your level so nobody will know that you ain't been doing what God told you to do. See, so you want everybody, so you all kind of get, you know, lost in the crowd. But if God just tells you to pass to 35 people, do it with a great heart. But that's not successful. You're not dealing with success. You're dealing with prosperity. We must be prepared to leave the familiar and face the unknown with Christ. Every day something comes up that I don't know nothing about. God told me to build buildings. I said, no. I've always argued with the Lord, you know what I mean? Because not only do I have a relationship, I got a fellowship so I can talk. I said, listen, why don't we buy one? I thought that was excellent. He said, I want you to build his complex. I said, but no, Lord, I've never built nothing. If I build a doghouse, the dog gonna get wet. We got trouble. Do you understand? Remember when I tried to fix the light switch and I did, and when that time you turned the light on, the toilet flushed? Remember that? I messed it all up. And Kathy had to get somebody to come in. Because if you sat on the toilet, you got electrocuted. I don't know how I did it. I don't know what happened. But I was trying. I wanted to fix her. I'm not a fixer. I don't know how to fix stuff. I was a drug boy. I needed a fix. I didn't know how to fix. I just needed a fix. I said, listen, we don't know how to do that. He said, that's why I'm calling you to do it. I said, but I don't. If I make a mistake, I don't know I'm making a mistake. He said, then you're going to have to rely totally on me. I said, Lord, I believe everything you say. He said, now don't start lying now. Now, we've said that many times, but you don't know that till the test comes. You think you do. You must be prepared to leave the familiar and face the unknown with Christ. What do you say? We're here to do impossible things, to attempt impossible tasks, to bring the past impossible results. Now, there's some things, you know, I don't particularly care to do, but I do them because God told me to do them. When God tell you to do what you want me to do, I got to do it. Now, Gloria and Kenneth and Brother Copeland have slept in my home. I've slept in their home. We're friends as well as ministers preaching together. We and George have been on motorcycle trips together. We've vacationed together. We've had, you know, nice times, things. And, I mean, I just love brothers and sister Copeland, not only in ministry, but, you know, as personal friends. God's been gracious. Anyway, make a long story short. But sometimes God will tell Kenneth to do something, and I'm involved in it, and I don't even know. Prime example. He called me up and said, Jesse, the Lord told me to go to the islands of the world. I said, well, praise God. He said, you going too? I said, okay. That's all right. So I'm thinking islands of the world. Maui. St. Thomas, St. Croix. Those are islands. Fiji. But not Brother Copeland. Cold Bay, Alaska. Penguins don't live in Cold Bay, Alaska. I'm talking cold. I'm talking 50 below zero. And the whole place got 112 people. That's as many people. If everybody came, we'd have 112. And we had a blizzard. And I think 8 came. Brother Copeland said, let's preach the gospel. I had stammering lips. Cold. Cold. And listen to this. We stayed at the big hotel. Had 7 rooms. The big hotel. The small hotel got 3. Now listen to this. Brother Copeland had a bathroom in his. Jerry Savelle figured out something where he got a bathroom in his. And the guy said, you're going to have to let Brother Jesse use your bathroom, Jerry. Jerry said, how much is it worth to you, Jess? I said, I'm willing to pay any price. And you got to flush fast or it freezes. Wait, I am not exaggerating. They got a guy full time. Keeping the sewage lines from freezing. God is my witness. So Jerry says, hey, Jesse, let's go take a picture out there. I said, Jerry, that's a good 50 yards away from the plane. He said, if we run fast, we can do it. So me and Jerry run out there. I'm going to take a picture of him. He's going to take a picture of me, Kobe. I left your brother Kobe and said, look at them two fools out there. We're going. It was cold. 12 hours later, we're in the Marshall Islands, Kwajalein, Majuro, 110 degrees. I'm talking Africa hot. Sweat. Water walking. Kenneth said, I'll tell you what, God's going to do something in these islands. I said, okay. Then they told me, you can't take your coat off and you have to preach with a coat and tie. You be kidding me. It's the close of office. You'll be preaching through an interpreter. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. They said, now, after you start preaching, you can take your coat off, but you must start. It would be an insult to the people and the king and the queen of the Marshall Islands. Kenneth went out there for his sweating like a dog. I'm seeing water run out of his shoes, man. I'm telling you, hot. Kenneth preached like a house of fire. Jerry Savelle next. I'm telling you, sweat like you ain't never seen sweat. Jerry, I mean, you just touch it, and actually the water would do that. Boy, and I'm sitting there, I'm going, my God. And I get to screaming and hollering. I sweat normally. I don't perspire. I sweat, man. They said, ladies and gentlemen, we got Brother Jesse coming. I came up there, but I figured something out, man. Lord God, I got up there, buddy, and it wasn't 30 seconds. Wham, sweating. And I walked out to that crowd, and I saw the king of the martial arts. I said, do you like this coat? Do you like this coat? He said, oh, yes. Oh, let me give it to you. As my gift to you. I said, do you like this Versace tie? Do you like that tie? Oh, yeah. Oh, let me give it to you. I'd have gave him a pants if I could have got away with it, but I didn't. I didn't do that. Kenneth said, Jesse, giving all his clothes away. I gave my clothes away every service I preached. I came back with a little bag of underwear. That's all I had. I'm serious. They were taking it too. I can't. It was so hot.
I gave an altar call, and these people told us over 800 kids crying came forward. And 800 kids getting born again in the islands of the world. I said something funny, and the interpreter fell on the platform and started laughing. And the people going, oh, no. I said, tell him. He goes, I said, no, tell him. So he goes, click up, don't touch that. They go, oh. And then they start laughing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, water walking disciple. You know how much money it costs to do that? How? You talking a bunch of money when you fly in a private corporate aircraft. Now, these people got nothing. Zero. Yet. It didn't make no difference how much it cost. We're going to walk the water. Because people needed to know Jesus. So about a month and a half after that, phone, I said, hello.
Yes, it is the candle.
I said, hello, Brother Copeland. He said, where would you like to go? What's some other islands you'd like to go to? Australia? It's an island. I said, anywhere there's air conditioning and heat. And a bathroom. He laughed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you're sitting there sweating like that and you're freezing like that. I mean, it's not very comfortable. God told me to go to Africa. Oh, no, Jesus. No. No. They put manure in the hair over there, Lord. When people start sweating, it gets rough. Oh. Lay hands on me. Oh, yeah, I'm going to put my elbow on you. Right. Hey, I'm an American boy. Do you understand? But God said, do it. No underarm deodorant. They lift their hands up. I said, whoa, put your hand down, boy. Just put your arm down. Let me pray for you like that. Jesus, touch it. But that's all right. That don't make no difference. One time I told the Lord, I said, listen, I'm an American. Send Jerry Savelle. I'll give him the money. Let him go. Let him go. I mean, I actually said, Lord, I don't want to go. He said, well, then stay here. I said, now, don't get mad. I didn't say I wouldn't go. I just said I didn't want to go. Forgive me. This was years ago. I said, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I didn't say I was going to like it. I said, I was going to go everywhere you want me to go. And, you know, he can understand that. He said, Jesse, I go to a lot of Christians' house I don't like. But I love. He said, I didn't like any of them people in that temple. So I got me a rope and beat the fire out of him. I beat him out of there. I said, can I do that? You just thought of the person you'd like to hit with a rope right now, wouldn't you? You believe in God to build debt-free millions and millions of dollars, right? You find out you got a thief in the post office. And he stole over 3,000 of the checks. You still get mail in. All of a sudden, a week or a month might get a little tight. You figure, you know God gonna meet your need. Then you catch somebody on an interstate with a post office truck with the back doors open and their head and their hands in my mail bag. Opening up envelopes, looking for cash. Well, since if there's not any cash, then they throw the check away. But the person, you don't know about it until at least 2 months because the person won't call you because they say, well, maybe they didn't get it in this month, you know, so they have to wait 2 months. Then they have to start spending stop payment penalties and stuff like that. Over 3,000 checks. You call the FBI. They say, it's a post office matter. You call the post office. They don't want to talk about it. So you start praying and you catch the thief. Somebody just happened to stop on I-20, caught the guy with my mail in his hand and some other people's mail too in the hand. They nailed him. He's in jail. Got another one now. That's aggravating. Now, you got to understand the kind of man I am. You got to understand the background I come from. I come from the city of New Orleans. Do you understand? The mafia started in New Orleans, not in New York, New Orleans. I play music. I work for them people. I know them people. I knew the five crime families. They like me. And they come out to my hangar.
Every once in a while, how you doing, Reverend? So I'm doing fine. You need anything? Yeah. I need you to go down to the post office. And one of their grandsons or sons gets born again in my meetings in New York. How you like to be preaching for a person and a black limousine drive up? Whoa. Two men in front walk in the church like this. Two men outside, there's this Don in between them. He want to talk to me, and the pastor say, my God, what kind of friends Brother Jesse got? I'm thinking, oh, Lord. Come up to you and say, hey, I want to thank you for helping my associate's son. You got him off of drugs. You know what I mean? He's a bad boy. I said, no, sir, I didn't do that. Jesus did it. Whatever. And then say this. You know, Reverend, there's some things we can't do. I mean, there's some things we can do you can't do. You got a problem, you call us. You know, you rent some of these convention centers. Yeah, yeah. You got union problems? Here, give me this number. Call the number. You got a problem, we'll take care of everything. Yeah, I said, no, sir, I don't care for anything. Thank you. Well, we know you love God and all that, but you know. And you know, you used to work, you know, we remember. I said, yeah. You need anything. You need some help. There's things we can do you can't do. You know what I'm saying? We have a way. And somebody tightening my chain in a convention center over union mess and all this kind of stuff. And I think, where the number? Where the number? I want to charge it. A denim charges that turn out to be this big. Or somebody lying about you. And you know. Because you understand that most of these people are Catholic. And what does that mean? That means that Peter has the keys. If he can get you in hell, he can unlock you out. So they're looking for a priest or a preacher that can pray for them. Got to understand the mentality. I mean, I've had someone say, look, I want you to be my preacher. You know, just get somebody whack me or something. You know what I mean? I might get whacked, you know, and you can pray me out. You know what I'm saying? How much you need? I said, I don't need nothing. I don't want nothing. You sure? I don't want nothing. But I mean, you got to understand. I mean, because even though you're born again preaching the gospel, but your background, the Lord washes that away, but they don't. You understand? They don't. And they think they owe you a favor. I said, you owe me nothing. In fact, I told one not too long ago at the New Orleans International Airport, I said, I serve the boss of the bosses. So you got to talk their lingua. I serve the capo, the whatever. They said, you know, I really believe you got Jesus in your life. I really do. Think you could pray for me? Oh, yeah. Now, you know the kind of man I am. I said, yeah, but you don't know the kind of God I serve. I said, they watch you like a hawk. They watch it. And they're not watching what you're going to do. They're watching the Christ in you. And buddy, you get somebody like that born again, they understand covenant. They understand. I'll say this in close. When you're a water walker, Jesus sent you all kind of people years ago at Elysian Fields Assembly of God. Remember that? I was preaching for a pastor. And one of these couples got born again and started coming to church, and they made him an usher. Now, that was a big thing for him. So I walk, I say, how you doing, man? We called him King Tut. I said, how you doing, Tut? So tell you what, man. The Lord made me an usher. He does something. Me an usher. Now, next door is a complete graveyard that ain't no telling how many Tut put in there. He's some an usher, man. I'm an usher. I said, man, congratulations, Tut. Except I'm climbing. I'm coming up. God gonna make me a made man. I said, that's great, Tut. He said, listen, I'm gonna make sure you get a good offering. I said, Tut, don't worry about the offering. Oh, no. True, you can ask my wife about it. He said, this your wife? I said, yeah. She's a little stiff. I said, no, she's not. She was behind the tape table. He said, come on, girl. You gotta know how to move this stuff. He said, she's a little stiff. I said, no, she's sweet. Okay. He said, I'll make sure you get a good offering. God is my witness. I said, no, Tut, don't worry about it. He said, let me handle these things. Sure enough, came time to receive an offering. Tut, take that bag. God, that's my witness. I like to fell out when he did it. comes down there. We pray over it. Comes up there with the bag. Does this. So the lady put that. He looks and he goes, ain't enough. Come on. God is my witness. He hitting people. What's the matter with you? Took about an hour to get the offering. We got a good offering. That's a true story. Now, you got to understand, you've only been born again about 8-9 months. Got to give him time to grow. He's not like that today, but when he first started out, say, so you got to give him time to grow. The results of faith, I close with this, will not last one moment beyond faith itself. See, when Jesus told Peter, come, what he meant was, come all the way. You could be one of those that say, I got out of the boat of religion, and I got on the water. And I'm going to stay on this water till Jesus comes. And wherever he walks, I'm going to walk.